The BioWorld Insider Podcast.
This is the BioWorld Insider Podcast. I'm Lynn Yaffe, BioWorld's publisher. Every year, a group of trailblazers and forward-thinking executives converge at the BioFuture Conference to evaluate the future of healthcare. This year, there will be more than 100 speakers who will focus on the future of biopharma, digital medicine, big data, AI, healthcare systems, insurance providers, and beyond. The BioFuture Conference is in Midtown Manhattan from October 28th through the 30th. If you attend, you'll have the chance to hear panels and join workshops and fireside chats with key opinion leaders. Our guest today on the podcast is one of those BioFuture panel members. Victoria Lipinska is America's lead for quantum innovation centers at IBM Quantum. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
She's talking today about the future of big data and drug development with Lee Landenberger, a BioWorld staff writer and the BioWorld Insider podcast host. Lee?
Thanks, Lynn and Victoria. Really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. I'm looking forward to hearing your panel presentation at BioFuture. But I want to step back real quickly. BioWorld covered IBM's collaboration with the Cleveland Clinic with the launch of the Quantum System 1, which was the first time this type of system was established specifically for healthcare and life science research. So it's nice to talk to you for a follow-up and to get ready for the next couple of weeks. I wanted to start with a really basic question, and this may be one where I may be the only one who doesn't know the answer, but quantum computing strikes me as an interesting phrase, and I want to know if you can tell, just give me a basic on what it is and why is it different than AI or machine learning, or is it different?
Yeah, thank you, Lee. That's actually a very good question. I think that we hear this phrase quite a lot, right? Quantum computing in the context of AI and high-performance compute. But I think it's really good to take a moment to think about what it actually is and what it means. So quantum computing is a completely different branch of computing as opposed to what we know right now. And it's meant to complement what we know, not to really replace it. So when we're talking about regular computing, right? So in the context of our laptops or our phones or high performance compute, we're talking about bits, right? And bits are the basic unit of information. In the context of AI, we're typically talking about neurons. But in the context of quantum computing, we're talking about quantum bits, or as we like to call them, qubits. And qubits use principles of quantum physics, or more specifically, quantum mechanics. And in order to produce them, we need to do some special tricks because they're quite fragile. So in order to make them survive, we need to bring the temperatures really, really low. So actually, those are ultra cold temperatures of 15 millikelvin. This is, if you think about it, this is really colder than the outer space. And currently, we're on a second generation of quantum computers using those quantum bits. At IBM, we have IBM Quantum System 2 with the largest chip of 156 qubits or quantum bits.
So looking into the future, I'm really curious what it is that you see quantum computing becoming capable of.
Mm-hmm. So because this is a completely new way of computing, we also want to be solving new problems. So we hope to unlock problems that are either classically difficult or completely intractable. And we're getting closer to applications that are relevant to industries, but quantum computing doesn't have a practical advantage over the regular or classical compute quite yet. Nevertheless, it's still important to ask the question, where are we right now and where do we want to go? So in June 2023, we achieved a so-called quantum utility. This was a demonstration that a quantum computer can run certain quantum circuits or quantum computations beyond what is possible classically to simulate. So that was step one. Step two is so-called error-correcting code. This is just another step to get us into the quantum computing of the future, to have hardware resistant to errors. Normally, this is very costly in qubits, but we have a recent result where we show that this is possible to reduce the number of qubits by 90%, so quite significant. And while error correction is a big goal that we hope to achieve in 2029, we do think that the industry will be able to find that advantage in quantum computing before that happens, before error correction. But nevertheless, error correction will open that door to quantum advantage even wider.
Error correction. That's an interesting phrase. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? I assume it's just reducing the number of mistakes, but I'm curious about what you
mean. That's exactly what it is. So currently on the hardware, we do experience noise. And this is due to the physics of the computation, because we do have to remember, like we said at the beginning, that the physics of computation is completely different for the first time since we invented transistors. So because of that, and because we're building this technology, we're inevitably experiencing noise. However, we can use those error correcting codes or error correction in general to reduce the errors that we have on the hardware. But this comes at the cost of a higher number of qubits. So in other words, we need to introduce redundancy in additional qubits in order to be able to tackle errors better. So this is where we want to go with error correction.
So give me an idea of why the healthcare and life science industries are so interested in quantum computing.
Ah, yes, that's a great question. So typically in quantum computing, at least at this point, we're talking about three main areas of applications. That means simulating nature. So here we can think about quantum nature of quantum materials, drugs, so on, being simulated with quantum computers. So in other words, quantum simulating quantum. This is a very big simplification, but I think it gives the gist pretty well. So that's number one. Number two is data with structure. So you can think of images with patterns and so on. And the third one is data without structure. So here we're talking about databases and searching them, optimizing them, so on. In healthcare life sciences specifically, we can use those three main areas of applications of algorithms to tackle problems related to healthcare life sciences. Those problems can be, like I mentioned before, imaging. So really here, searching for features in images. Drug discovery, this is that quantum simulating quantum part. Clinical trial optimization or photon-drug interactions, protein structure prediction. So really problems that are fundamentally important to healthcare and life sciences, but have a computational bottleneck that can be tackled with those three main areas of applications for quantum computers. Healthcare life sciences is not the only area where quantum computers can be used. And some other applications include materials, optimization, sustainability, and high energy physics.
I want to ask you about drug development. That seems like a front runner in quantum computing. If you're going to speculate, and I know you probably, that's not always the easiest thing to do, and you're always comfortable to do it. But I'm curious, if you were to speculate about how quantum computing might change drug development, what do you see in the future?
Yeah, I really like that question because we actually worked very closely at IBM with Cleveland Clinic, like you mentioned before. And there is a thing that Lara Jaihai always says, Dr. Lara Jaihai, who is one of the leads at Cleveland Clinic for quantum computing. She always mentions that the overall process of drug discovery can take on average up to 17 years. That's a really long time. That means from the idea all the way to taking drug to the market. And even thinking about that, if we had a potential to reduce that number, that already would be very good. But to be a little bit more specific, in quantum simulations, in chemistry simulations, we typically have pretty good classical or regular compute models. But some problems can encounter bottlenecks in this classical computing. So for example, that's ground state energy problems to determine specific properties. Those are quite expensive to compute. And drug discovery involves complex molecular interactions that are challenging to model using those classical compute models. Quantum computing could simulate these interactions at the quantum level, like we said, and this can lead to more efficient drug discovery by identifying those promising compounds faster, understanding their effects at the molecular level, and then reducing the need for costly or time-consuming lab experiments. So if we circle back to these 17 years, if we accelerate the overall process and potentially lower the cost of bringing new treatments to market, it's worth a shot.
So it's underestimating it to say it'll just save a lot of time.
We hope to think so, but we still have to wait for the results.
So who in healthcare and the life sciences is exploring the use of quantum computing right now?
Mm-hmm. So I always like to bring up Cleveland Clinic in this, and that's a little bit for a personal reason because I've been working with Cleveland Clinic for 2.5 years now. But this is a 10-year partnership that we have at IBM that's not just focused on quantum computing, but it's also focused on AI and high-performance computing. The whole partnership is called Discovery Accelerator, and it's meant to do exactly that. It's meant to accelerate discovery in healthcare and life sciences. Cleveland Clinic specifically in quantum computing has the first quantum system in the world that's dedicated fully to healthcare and life sciences research. And it's on their campus, first one as well ever installed outside of an IBM facility. And it's located in the Lerner Institute. On top of that, there are many other institutions that are interested in healthcare life sciences, and they're gathered in the so-called healthcare life sciences working group. This is a group that focuses on developing applications around healthcare life sciences in quantum computing specifically. And if anybody is interested to read more about that, I recommend searching for a paper that's called Towards Quantum-Enabled Cell-Centric Therapeutics. It's a mouthful, but that's a perspective paper on what can be done with quantum computing, in particularly in healthcare life sciences.
So what are IBM's longer term roadmap plans for quantum computing?
For several years now, we've been publishing a roadmap every year that's not just about hardware, so not just about those qubits and devices, but it's also about software enabling researchers to use quantum computers. We are focusing on building scalable, fully error-corrected quantum computers, like we said, and we want to deliver quantum systems with increasing qubit counts, aiming for that error-corrected system in 2029. That one will be executing 100 million gates. That's a measure of what kind of operations we can do on that system, over 200 qubits. And by 2033, an improved quantum error-corrected system is expected, capable of executing 1 billion gates, so significant improvement, across 2,000 qubits. But like I said, it's not just about hardware. It's also about software stack that comes on top of that. And we're focused on developing that to address really real-world problems, not just theoretical problems, like here, drug discovery or logistics. And we can't do it alone. So we also want to emphasize that as much as we can provide hardware and software, it's really important to look into those hybrid quantum classical algorithms where we collaborate with our partners in the so-called IBM Quantum Network to develop new applications for many areas. And lastly, what I would like to emphasize is that we stress the importance of quantum education to build the future workforce for quantum computing. This will only grow in the future, and it's really important that we invest right now into the workforce, and the way we support that is through open access to our quantum systems.
Fascinating. Lynn, do you have any questions you'd like to ask Victoria?
I do. Victoria, this is all really fascinating indeed, and I was just thinking about it from a patient perspective, the patient advocacy groups, somebody with the disease. What does the timeline look in terms of how this technology will help patients with real diseases today? Are we talking about an impact that's still quite down the road, another decade until there's a practical application, or just a few years? What can you look into your crystal ball a bit mm-hmm. and sort of predict when the practical applications might come?
Thank you, Lynn. The progress in computing in general, not just quantum computing, happens extremely fast sometimes. And sometimes it takes quite a while to put a specific algorithm from an idea to production, right? So right now, what we are doing is specifically focusing on creating new algorithms and applying those that we know in specific areas for like drug discovery or like imaging, searching, and so on. So with dates on our roadmap, we can really make a statement about hardware and about software. Applications are quite a different story. So I don't want to make a specific prediction right here.
Absolutely understood. But I had to ask. We'll certainly look forward to tracking the development along the way, and BioWorld will stay in touch with any new updates. Victoria, thank you for your time and insight today. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Just a quick reminder about the BioFuture Conference. BioWorld is a sponsor because we think it's a great opportunity for our readers to meet investors and potential partners during networking receptions, one-to-one meetings, and it's not too late to sign up. For more details, you can find it at biofuture.com. That's our show for today. As always, BioWorld will continue to keep you informed of all the most important scientific, clinical, regulatory, technological, and business updates. We're a daily news service covering the development of the most innovative human therapeutics designed to improve the human condition. If you need to track the development of drugs, turn to BioWorld.com. You can follow us on LinkedIn or X. And if you want to share news with us, drop us an email to newsdesk@BioWorld.com. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to subscribe via your favorite platform. Thank you for joining us today.
BioWorld, published by Clarivate, is a subscription-based news service that delivers actionable intelligence on the most innovative therapeutics and medical technologies in development.